Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because, of course, it's going to be open lines. Our regularly scheduled guest is unavailable. So we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I thought maybe we'd just talk a little bit about the situation over there in Syria. And, of course, we are financing this whole revolutionary war as we finance the revolutionary war. Took place in Egypt to overthrow the existing government, in Tunisia to overthrow the existing government, in Libya. And there's an article in one of the most recent New York Times commenting about how, of course, we didn't have any troops on the ground in Egypt. Well, we had a few special forces troops and a CIA contingent in Libya during the revolution, but we didn't have any military troops over in Libya. But of course we did. I mean, the CIA has its own military, it has its own police force, it has its own soldiers and the professional militia. And, of course, the special forces, who could deny that they are military? So we are basically overthrowing those countries, and now we're involved in Syria. And we've been there for 18 months, and we haven't been able to topple the government there yet. Tens of thousands of civilians have been killed with weapons supplied with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. Your tax money has been used, and, of course, I'm not saying it would have been any different with Romney. Romney was certainly even more militaristic than Obama, but they're both controlled by the same people, unfortunately. And, of course, the purpose of American foreign policy is to topple all of the governments in that area and, of course, unite the Muslim world under Sharia law, under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood, in preparation for an attack on Israel. And it's coming. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Well, certainly the situation in Syria is not going very well. And, of course, the government there has been doing a fairly good job, despite the massive amounts of money that we've given. The recent article in the New York Times pointed out that we'd given $200 million in automatic weapons and machine guns and ammunition and grenade launchers, and we'd given it to the fighters over there. But all shucks, most of it wasn't going to the moderates, it was going to the radical Islamists. In fact, when we gave all those weapons, we had no idea where they were going. And if you want us to believe that, I think you're incredibly naive. Of course they know where it's going. Of course we're funding the radical Islamists. In fact, we've been funding the Muslim Brotherhood since the beginning, since the end of the World War II. And this is covered in a book we carry called The Devil's Game. The devil's game. And basically, of course, that's really what it is. It is the devil's game. But of course, Syria is a very serious situation because the Syrians have chemical and biological weapons. They have large supplies of them. Where did they get them from? Why they got them from Saddam Hussein. Where did Saddam get his chemical biological weapons? We gave them to him, ladies and gentlemen. We provided them for Saddam Hussein. They've been transferred to Syria. And, of course, when the current government falls, they'll fall into the hands of the terrorists. But why should we be surprised about that? You know, if you go back to the background of how did Russia get their nuclear weapons? Why, of course, we gave it to them. A man named Harry Hopkins, who worked for the president, FDR, you'll find this story covered in a book called From Major Jordan's Diary. And during the Second World War, we set the plans and the equipment needed to create the nuclear bomb or atom bomb to the Soviets. They gave it then to the Chinese. Where did the Muslims in Pakistan get it? Why they got it from America. That's why the book, certainly you can't find it in the bookstores. It's a book going into civil ed ministry, classified woman.
Gold
try to
and
find
silver
it.
Is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 in the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and it's open line, so we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But we're talking about Libya, where we will admit to having given almost $250 million, about $200 million in machine guns, automatic weapons, ammunition, certainly automatic grenade launchers, and heaven only knows what else we've given to the rebels over there, and we just don't have any idea who it's going to, but it doesn't seem to be going to the moderates, going to the radical Islamists, and we just don't know how that is happening. Well, of course, the real problem over there is that there is a great deal in the way of chemical and biological weapons there, and if it falls into the hands, of course, of the terrorists, this will be a very, very real problem for Israel. I pointed out certainly that it was the United States government, they can't let the American people know this, but we transferred certainly the plans for the nuclear weapons to the Russians during the Second World War. Harry Hopkins did that. And if you've never read the book From Major Jordan's Diary by George Racy Jordan, that's From Major Jordan's Diary from George Racy Jordan. You can get the book. I talked to Major Jordan before he died. I believe his story is true and accurate. And he actually came and covered the plans that they were actually shipping in sealed suitcases to the Soviet Union. He reported it to the White House, saying he was in charge of the Air Force base at Great Falls, Montana. During the war, he reported it to the White House, saying, should I let this shipment go? And who did he have get a hold at the White House but Harry Hopkins, who said, let the shipment go, keep your mouth shut, never tell anybody what you found. Well, of course, Major Jordan didn't tell anybody what he found, at least not initially. He let the shipment go, but he eventually wrote the book for Major Jordan's Diary, which shows how we transferred the plans and the wherewithal to create nuclear weapons to the Soviets during the course of the Second World War. And in a similar matter, of course, Sybil Edmonds, who worked for the FBI, had an opportunity to go through a lot of the emails and faxes and information that the FBI had collected, and they basically found out that the State Department had known about a Turkish and Israeli spy ring working at the highest level of the State Department, which transferred the plans for the nuclear bomb to Pakistan. And of course, when Sybil Edmonds tried to get that information out, she was blocked at every turn, all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. In the name of national security, they could not allow the American people to know that we gave the nuclear bomb to Pakistan for all intents and purposes. And of course, we had helped India get that earlier. But we helped them develop their peaceful use of nuclear energy, and then we helped them plan a peaceful explosion using the nuclear energy we helped them to get. Ladies and gentlemen, we are arming nations throughout the world with nuclear weapons in preparation for a terrible, terrible nuclear confrontation I fear is coming down the line. And of course, certainly if you go to the Bible and you read the Revelation and the description of the elimination of the majority of the people in the world, certainly in the latter days, I think you can begin to understand the significance, certainly, of what we're telling you about how America is actively spreading nuclear weapons and biological and chemical weapons. And yet, of course, we have to give the impression we're against it. But the people working behind the scenes are planning on a major confrontation in the world involving most of the nations of the world, and there's going to be terrible horror and suffering as a result of that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you'd like the story about how the United States transferred the material for the nuclear weapons to Pakistan, boy, Chris, you can get a copy of my interview with Sybil Edmonds. I had the interview with her, and we actually have not been able to get her book to distribute it. Like so many of the books, like Grey Wolf, we can't get Grey Wolf. That's the story of what really happened to Adolf Hitler after World War II, and we interviewed the author of the book, who had gone, he and his partner had gone to South America, and actually encountered and talked to people who had known Adolf Hitler when he was in South America, or people who had known the people who took care of Adolf Hitler until the time he died in 1962. But you see, we can't let the American people know that the United States helped and funded the Nazis all during the war. And as I've told you, I do have in my files a copy of a letter I found when I went through Colonel House's papers at Yale University back in 1980. And it was a letter that was sent to Colonel House in 1936 by Ambassador William Dodd, the American ambassador to Germany in 1936. And he's asking why there were 100 American corporations over there building the weapons of war for the Nazis. And of course, that we know who they were. They were General Motors, they were Ford, they were AT&T, they were IBM, they were GE, they were Brown Brothers, Harriman Bank, headed by a man named Prescott Bush, and another man named George Herbert Walker, and then there's Standard Oil, and 100 American corporations built the weapons that were used not only before World War II, but during World War II, to arm the Nazis so that they could kill American boys. But why did they want that? They wanted to change the world. They wanted to create such horror and bloodshed and carnage that the people of the world, Americans, would be willing to form this world government. That's why they had World War I. That's why they had World War II. And since World War II and the establishment of the United Nations did not established the world government that they sought. That's why World War III is inevitable. And they were even planning on that. You can read one of some of the writings of a certain name, Hughes, H.G. Wells, I'm sorry, and he wrote a book, I think, about 1933, where he talked about the third trial at creating the New World Order. It was going to be in the late 1980s. It was going to come out of a conference in Iraq. But they were planning even in the 30s about for this third world war, which we're facing today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or would like to know what you would like to talk about. But certainly there have been articles in the New York Times. Nobody's ever commented about them. But they've simply mentioned that the United States is planning on sending perhaps as many as 75,000 American troops into Syria to try to protect those chemical and biological weapons and keep them from falling into the hands of the terrorists. Now, we will know whether, of course, our government wants the terrorists to have those biological and chemical weapons to use, certainly on Israel and the United States down the line, or whether we don't want to, as to whether we send the troops in, because certainly we're doing everything we can to topple the existing government of Assad. And when we topple that government, of course, why, somebody's going to end up controlling the chemical and biological weapons. Israel is not in a position to invade and try to protect those weapons. They're not in one site. They're in a number of sites over there. How do you feel about the Islamic terrorists, certainly Al-Qaeda, holding large supplies of chemical and biological weapons? And they're very effective. They're the ones that we supplied to Saddam Hussein during the 1980s, so during his war with, of course, Iran, where Saddam, using American chemical weapons, actually killed about 1 million Iranians and certainly about 100,000 Kurds. American tax dollars at work. Actually, I interviewed a fellow who was certainly with Special Forces who'd been actually sent to Iraq during that time to help the Iraqi government and the Iraqi military use the chemical weapons to kill the Iranians. Of course, the Iranian army was mainly made up of young boys, a lot of them 15, 16, 14, 15, and 16. And they were the ones that were killed with the chemical weapons that we created. And the fact that nobody ever wants to talk about this sort of thing, or really to tell you that we do have a small group that controls America and makes mockery out of our democratic concept. And let me point out that if you've never read Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies, we do have used copies. And Barry Goldwater, writing in 1979, I believe it's on page 280, talked about the Trilateral Commission. He talked about the Council on Foreign Relations, but that was primary, certainly national, but the Trilateral Commission was international. And the Trilateral Commission wanted to seize control of the entire world by first seizing control of the government of the United States. That's what Barry Goldwater said, that's what he wrote, and that's exactly what they've done. We talk a lot about Susan Rice, should she become the next Secretary of State, and of course they have this controversy over what she had said about certainly the situation in Benghazi and why they had the attack on the American facilities there. And of course, she had said it had to do with a video that somebody had made that insulted Allah. And of course, that's the crust of the debate. Nobody ever mentions that Susan Rice was one of the 87 members of the Trilateral Commission, the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, and nobody mentions that fact at all. So basically what they do is they focus our attention on all of the wrong issues. The last thing they want is for the American people to understand that a small group of wealthy and powerful people control both political parties, the military, the six major banks, the major corporations, the leadership of both political parties, and make mockery of the democratic process. Well, let's go to Eli, who's calling us from Cincinnati. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's open lines. We'll talk about whatever you want to. Hello, Eli. How are we doing?
Hello, doctor.
Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I wanted to know, like, the Nephilim in the Bible.
I'm sorry, the what now?
The Nephilim.
The Nephilim, okay. You'd like to talk about the Nephilim?
Yes, I wanted to know, are they fallen angels?
Well, no, they are the offspring of fallen angels. They're half human, they're half angelic, but angels from the dark side. Hang on, we'll be with you in just a moment here, and we'll talk about that. And if you give us a call, if you're out there, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, we'd love to talk to you. No.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact, and the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
To stand back here at Radio Liberty, of course, it's open lines, and we'll look forward to hearing from you at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But we've got Bruce calling from Durand. Is that Durand, Michigan? Bruce?
Yeah, some people call it Durand, some call it Durand.
Okay, well, we'll call it Durand, but go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
I was thinking about the great flood there, and it often haunts me to think that the people at that time thought they were just decent people doing what they had to survive, you know, just like we are, till the big wall of water came and washed them all away. How many were that way?
I think that the trouble is that this whole society was totally corrupt.
Yeah, they corrupted flesh. I believe that's why God had to step in.
That's right. And then, of course, it's like deja vu all over again because it's happening today here in America. But basically, at least we have at least a significant contingent of good Christians here. They may be misled by their ministers. They may be misled by the church. They're being misled by our political people, but we have an awful lot of good people in America. We are still lucky to live here. We just need to do everything we can to try to preserve this country, or we're going to lose it, and we're going to lose it very shortly, because they're going to destroy the value of our currency and create economic chaos here in the next couple of years. Do you have anything you'd like to talk about specifically, Bruce?
Have you ever heard of this Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and his book, The Harbinger?
Yes, I have. I thought it was fascinating.
He thinks there's waves of more and more severe judgment coming, just like in ancient Samaria, northern Israel, how they defied God, and they were gone in 240 years. I was reading 2 Kings again today. It was going through it carefully. And from Jeroboam to Hosea, when they went under Assyrian captivity or became lost, they only had 241 years. You know what? I think Rabbi Kahn there said something about 2015 is another seven-year mark, like 2001 and 2008 were. And that's about 240 years from 1776, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, that is a fascinating book, and I really enjoyed it. I know somebody has been critical of it, but I thought that overall his message was a very important one. And that is, of course, when a nation turns against God, God withdraws his support of that nation, his blessing on that nation. And this is what I fear for America.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard me use that quotation. It comes from the Jefferson Memorial. Nobody ever quotes it, but I think it's so important, where certainly Thomas Jefferson said, you know, God who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? And then he added, and I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. Yeah. And basically, of course, that was what I thought when I read The Harbinger, and I did read the book. I don't ordinarily get a chance to read books all the way through, but I read that one all the way through. I was fascinated, and I felt he did an excellent job, and I certainly recommend the book to people. Okay. In fact, I'd love to get the author onto one of our programs.
Yeah, he has the feeling that, well, from my reading, it only took 21 years from once they were first assaulted by, I think it was Sennacherib, Syrians, until they fell. So if it's 2001, add 21 years to that, America would fall by 2022
Bruce, what people don't understand is we've already been taken over.
Yeah.
This little group of evil people control our government today, and they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about this one world atheist government, or I shouldn't say atheist, because basically, of course, it will have a religion, but it won't be Christianity, because they're doing everything they can to destroy Christianity.
Well, whenever I hear them talk about progress, and we got to move forward, progress, all I can think of is I read this in another magazine that I get, Chronicles magazine. They talked about it will be a deracinated, irreligious, metrosexual, or D-I-M, dim, Babylonian future. That's what they're moving forward into. You know, so there's just a bland religion, nothing really sticking out. You know, everybody all the same. And that brings me to Israel.
Let me just point out our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're out there in the listening audience and you have something you'd like to talk about. It's open lines. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go right ahead, Bruce.
Okay, yeah. What is this clout that Hillary's got, or the gutlessness that Netanyahu has? I thought they were going to really punish the Hamas, and Hillary goes over there, and within like a couple hours, they have a ceasefire.
What you have to understand, Bruce, is nothing as it appears to be. Netanyahu was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He does what he is told to do. And we told him not to go after Hamas, which he should never should have done, doesn't.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
The people in Ramallah and then the people over in Gaza.
Hold that thought. What would be better? Well, this is Dr. Stan. I said the art. Open lines this evening. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you have a question or comment, just give us a call. But you go right ahead, Bruce.
I'm taking up too much time here.
No, you go right ahead. Finish your thought, and then we'll let you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, on the Israeli news, he had a really good comment. He said that these Qataris, they're always support the Islamic fundamentalists. And here these guys are multi-billionaire rich people on that little island. You know, they're like more rich than the Kuwaitis and the Saudis. And they're always, it's like what they're doing in Syria. They're always promoting the most Islamically fundamentalist parties that there are. And the other good thing he said was that Israel is always better off when they're at war. They get better deals when they're at war than when they try to make peace treaty. When they're making peace treaty, they always get the rough end of the stick. And when they're fighting in a battle, they always seem to turn out better.
Well, you're actually right. Basically, of course, I believe God has been with them in all of their wars, but then they've been betrayed by their own leaders. And unfortunately, so many of the people we look upon as great Israeli leaders are not traitors to Israel. Hey, thanks so much for calling,
okay.
Bruce.
Thank you.
Hey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and would like to know what you're thinking about what's going on. But I think really what's so interesting is that Jews are certainly returning to Israel at this time in history, which doesn't make sense because, of course, there's no stability over there at all. And at any time, there could be major chemical or biological attacks, and yet people are leaving the United States and being drawn there. And, of course, we have our good friend Cheryl Hancock. Cheryl's there working in Israel and keeps us abreast of what's going on. And her remark is, you know, when she talks to these newest Jewish immigrants in Israel, and she said, "Why did you come?" And they don't know. They just had this feeling they were supposed to be there. Well, I mean, when you see something like that, which doesn't make sense, you realize there has to be another explanation. And I believe there is. I believe God is drawing them back. Well, right now, let's go to Jay, who's calling from Soquel. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Jay, how are we doing?
I'm fine, sir. I was earlier saying that, like, the people of Israel, their calendar goes back 5,000 years, which is the oldest known calendar. There has been, sir, a continuous Israeli presence in Israel for 5,000 years. No other country in the entire world can say that. You know, we still have a calendar and a government and everything, and it's only being attacked because of Satan. Let me think about that, sir.
Well, I think that's really very, very true. I think, of course, the Jews do trace their calendar back, you know, and basically, they're not necessarily talking about the Jewish race. They're talking about the history of the world. And, of course, they trace it back to the Garden of Eden. And then from there on, they can go through all the generations. And of course, they start at the very, very beginning, and then comes the flood, and then, of course, they start in all over again, and then all the descendants of Noah, from who all of us are descendants of Noah. But, yes, the Jewish religion is something very, very special, and I think it has been created for God. And it's not that the Jewish people are any better than anybody else is, but they were chosen by God to play an important part in the history of the world, and I believe to play an important part in the times in which we're living today. So I think these are exciting times. I'm just so glad to be here, and I hope the Lord will keep me around for a few more years. Again, our telephone number, if you're out there and have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. What else did you want to say, Jay?
I was like to say, sir, that the Bible is the only book in the entire world that will, like, you describe what people do, which is sin. I mean, it's got the Ten Commandments and, you know, these different statutes and all these different, like, you know, what happens to different people when they sin, and, like, the Proverbs, or, like, you know, like, abusive, you know, spouse, or abusive, like, a boss, something like that. It always comes back with God's retribution to sin is. And that's what, I mean, it just lays out everything, and it's like a map, I think. It's a map of the world, and if we could follow that map, we will, you know, deliver us with God. We can't, though.
I think, Jay, the lessons of history are there. And, of course, the lesson of history is when a nation turns its back on God, God eventually brings judgment on that nation. I think God has given America every chance to repent, since we allowed, the good people of America allowed a Supreme Court that was controlled by a secret society, and that was the Masons, who controlled the United States Supreme Court, majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1941 to 1971. None of our ministers will tell us that. None of our political leaders will tell us that, and yet this organization, this secret society, the Freemasons, controlled our Supreme Court, and they were the ones who took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools because of they worship a different God. And until the American people said they repudiate that and said this is not what the First Amendment says, we elect people who will simply negate what the corrupt occult organization did. Well, if we don't do that, I think we're going to have God's judgment coming on this country, and very, very soon, I fear. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Jay.
Yes, sir. I concur with everything you're saying, sir. And I would just like to point out to the American people that it's like a Trojan horse. And that, you know, the Greeks did that same thing, and that was being the same thing implemented. All this thing you're talking about, these different, operations, like wars like that, you know, it's the same thing as the Trojans did to Greece. We're just doing the same thing over again. And I would like to say, sir, I'll get off here now, that it's all in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is going to be saved. And we need to, you know, just focus on, because, you know, it's all about Israel, I think. You know, so the United States is not mentioned at all in the Bible, which means that the United States is nothing. I mean, you know, we're here now, but what about tomorrow, sir?
Well, I think that something terrible is going to befall America. Unless something dramatic happens, certainly you're right. America is not described in the latter days, certainly, that are described in the Bible and the book of Revelation. And, of course, God knew what was going to happen at that time. I think America is going to be destroyed as a nation unless something dramatic happens. I believe, of course, that certainly people can change the course of history, but eventually God's word will come to fulfillment and the prophecies will be fulfilled. But we saw certainly after Jonah went to Nineveh, and of course, the Assyrians at that time were wicked, wicked people, and Jonah just told them, God's going to destroy you. And they actually repented, and they put on their sackcloth and took on their ashes and covered their head with ashes, and they really did repent. And Nineveh did change for about 60 years, and then they went back to their same old ways, and God brought judgment upon them. I believe we may be able to delay the day of retribution. We will not change God's plan for humanity.
Yes, sir. I have on my sackcloth, and I'm in the ashes right now, and I'm mourning my country, and my soul, and everybody else is listening to this podcast. Praise the Lord, Father God, Jesus Christ, and thank you for Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Thanks very much for calling, Jay. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. If you'd like to talk about the finances, if you'd like to talk about the coming inflation that's going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people, we would like to talk about certainly some of the programs that they have today to actually utilize medicines to actually create disease among us. Or certainly another thing is there's a shortage of medicines, a shortage of essential medicines, and they just can't seem to get around to getting them actually manufactured. Certainly the major manufacturers will not actually manufacture some of the important antibiotics, some of the anti-cancer drugs that are so important. So many of the things that really are essential to health, there seem to be developing shortages of medicines in America. How could that possibly happen in a free society? Well, it's because the government puts all sorts of rules and regulations in, so there will be shortages of life-saving medication. And let me tell you that the programs of euthanasia are already underway in America. I mean, I saw this. I became aware of it back during the AIDS epidemic when it was so obvious that every barrier was put in the way of using standard public health techniques to stop the spread of this sexually transmitted disease. And certainly the doctors in the county where I live, Santa Cruz County, have put together a logical public health policy which the leaders of organized medicine at the state and the national level refuse to abide by. I mean, certainly you need, if you're going to stop a sexually transmitted disease, you have to identify who has the disease, and you do that by routine testing. We'd done that in the 1930s with syphilis and almost stopped the spread of syphilis before penicillin ever became available. Well, certainly we should have done that with AIDS, but we did not. In fact, to this very day, we're not using the standard public health techniques that should have been used. And as a result of that, 30 to 40 million people have died throughout the world. 30 to 40 million people have died here in America. They'll admit over 600,000 have died, and probably 1,100,000 are infected. It's all unnecessary. And when I saw that, and I realized that organized medicine was on the wrong side, and eventually I worked for 8 or 9 years within the organized medicine here in the state of California. Eventually, at the end, why, of course, I'd been a member of the House of Delegates, I guess, for 15 years, and basically I got a standing ovation from the members of the House of Delegates of the CMA. I only saw that twice, one for Dr. Fields, for some of his work on trying to stop the use of tobacco and trying to point out how dangerous tobacco was that was killing people, and one for the public health policy that the California Medical Association eventually adopted. But it didn't matter what, of course, the doctors wanted. The leaders of organized medicine in California and throughout the country and the CDC and the U.S. Public Health Service had no intention of stopping the spread of the disease. And that's why the disease is still spreading in America and throughout the world today. Because every effort to certainly introduce standard and effective public health measures has been certainly introduced. Well, of course, then you begin to realize that this is part of something much bigger. It's called population control. And, of course, we have abortion, we have sterilization, we have contraceptives. We also have euthanasia here in America. Well, certainly we can see what's happening over in England, where they actually kill about 120,000 senior British citizens in England every single year. And, actually, you can go up on the Internet and just type in England kill 120,000 seniors yearly. And you'll find it's true. Well, they've started to do this here in America. It started out with the hospice care. Oh, my goodness, we needed to take care and make people comfortable, you know. We need comfort care. Well, they're already starting this in the hospitals now. And they're actually rewarding hospitals for killing the patients. And they simply will take away their food and water. Now, there may be a place for withdrawing care if somebody's terminal and in horrible pain. But if they're not terminal, when you begin to withdraw food and water or give them excessive amounts of Dilaudid or morphine, that's murder. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going on today. I had a gentleman who works not in Santa Cruz, but in an adjacent city, who works in the medical field, and he told me that he knows very well of two cases within the last month who they simply killed in the local hospitals and the local hospice. They were not terminal cases. And you're going to find this increasingly, ladies and gentlemen. And before long, people, I'm afraid, are going to be afraid to go to the hospitals in America. If you're a senior citizen, they are going to do away with you. And that's what Obama healthcare is all about, is doing away with the elderly. And they know exactly what they're doing, but there's no way they can afford to provide medical care for the 79 million baby boomers who are retiring. They're just going to have to kill them off. Dave from Central Washington, do you have a question or comment?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Go right ahead, Dave.
Dr. Stan, Dave in Central New York. I heard a number of years ago that there were over 300 chemicals in tobacco, smoking tobacco, that they don't know what they do in the human body. Is that true, Dr. Stan?
I really don't know. I'm not an expert on it. I do know that tobacco is terrible for you, and certainly it produces, probably kills at least 500,000 people in America every year. It promotes cancer, not only of the lung, but of the throat, and certainly the pancreas and of the breast. But I can't tell you about all the chemical makeup of tobacco, but we certainly know that that it is addicting, and the smoke, certainly the carbon in that, has a terrible cancerogenic tendencies.
Dr. Stan, my grandmother died at 94 a number of decades ago, and I remember saying when I was a kid, she had a saying, and I don't know where she got it from or why she said it. She used to say, "Tobacco is an Indian weed, and from the devil a devil proceed. It robs your pockets and burns your clothes and makes a smokestack out of your nose."
Well, I think she was absolutely right. Your grandmother was very, very wise.
Yeah, that was it, Dr. Smith.
Okay, anything else you would like to say, Dave?
No, sir, that's it.
But I will tell you, of course, you had tobacco. Certainly, we do not have an adequate programmed to convince people how dangerous tobacco is. It's very addicting. But there are ways of getting people off of that. But the bit most important thing is you put your life in the hands of the Lord and just say, Lord, take away this desire on my part to smoke. And this is how my wife quit. She quit in one night after smoking for many, many years. And I think other people can do it, but they can't do it on their own. They're going to need the Lord's help. Okay, thanks very much for calling, Dave. Okay, fine. Let's now then go. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have Dave calling from Washington. Hi, Dave. How are we doing?
Hi. So I'd like to ask your opinion. Have there been more than one Sodom and Gomorrah's on this planet? And I would like to also tell you about Clark and Subic Navy Base and Clark Air Base in the Philippines were closed in 1991 because of a child prostitution. The Philippine government ordered the bases to be dismantled, and then they had Mount Pinatubo and a typhoon at the same time. It just totally destroyed an entire province, flattened. And could this be that God was taking vengeance out upon the
absolutely God does bring judgment upon communities that are totally evil. I will tell you that San Francisco, for all intents and purposes, is a Sodom and Gomorrah, and so is New York City. I mean, basically what's going on, Hollywood, these are just areas that are totally immoral and corrupt. And many of our high politicians are certainly in the closet homosexuals, and that's also true of many of our actors. And many of the most powerful and wealthy people in the world today are homosexual activists.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America and you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you because, of course, we have to finance what we do, and certainly we do not take a salary. My wife doesn't take a salary. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and my wife does all the book work and all the hard work, and I certainly get constant touch with the people who do help to support us. But we do this because we believe it's important to try to get people to understand what's going on. America, the America we've known, no longer exists. We're heading into a period of chaos and crisis, and all we can do is try to point people towards our Lord. This may be all that they will have to sustain them in the weeks and months that come ahead, because, of course, they're going to destroy the value of our currency. We're going to have rampant inflation in the coming years, and with that will be increasing social unrest and eventually the collapse of our whole infrastructure of this nation. And of course, as we pointed out, America does not exist, or not mentioned certainly in the scriptures, unless perhaps it's that reference to alas, Babylon, the mother of harlots. And I really do believe that that is America, or at least is New York. But certainly there are going to be some terrible times that lie ahead. And our job is, of course, to bring as many people into a personal relationship with the Lord as we can. And I'm not a minister, but I am a historian, and I think once we can convince people that there are serious problems out there and that there are no certainly material or political solutions, they're going to begin looking for other alternatives, and hopefully what we may say here, what some of our guests may say, will lead people into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only thing that will, be, I personally believe, sustain them during the difficult times that lie ahead. Well, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to advertise with Radio Liberty, to donate to Radio Liberty, you can get certainly the books we offer, the CD sets, the DVDs, all the things we have. Certainly, we actually sell the soap. We sell Berkey water filters. We actually have health products, many that we take ourselves. And of course, they're put out by a well-known Christian health food company. But we believe things we carry are the things we are essential for your health. And then you're not taking magnesium, if you're not taking D3, if you don't have a supply of allobiotic and selenium and curcumin on hand, you need to have certain items to maintain your health, because we're just not getting certainly adequate magnesium in our diets today. You're not getting adequate iodine in your diet today, and you need to be taking supplements to maintain your health. So basically, if you'd like to get certainly information on my ministry, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. You can go there and learn about the Berkey water filters and the Miracle 2 soap products or the health food products that we carry. But then, of course, all the books and videos and DVDs we have that will help you understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged today. Certainly, I'd like to recommend for our listeners out there that you get a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I'd like to suggest that you get a copy of my latest talk, Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. And then, of course, we have another talk we'd given about a year ago, Population Control, The Covert Agenda. If you get the book on the Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, you certainly want to get the syllabus that goes with that, which you get at a discount if you get the DVD and the syllabus together. But you want to read what the other side says. It's not what I say, it's what they say. They do have a plan, and that plan is the destruction of life as you and I know. Because behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. There really is a supernatural world out there. There really is a mystical world out there. There is an invisible world. There is an intangible world. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And we'll be back in just a moment with another fascinating program here at Radio Liberty. Allegiance to a land.
life with a life from...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, a former senior editor of the New American magazine, then for a time the managing editor of Republic magazine, and now, of course, he writes his own blog. You can get his material, of course, he writes the Radio Liberty newsletter. And incidentally, William, that was an excellent November letter. It'll be going out very soon, but certainly it was... it was magnificent. I'm not going to tell our listeners what it's about, but I hope everybody will want to get a copy of that. It will be. You'll be getting it if you're a member of the Radio Liberty family. And if you're not able to join the Radio Liberty family, it'll be posted on our website very, very soon. Well, William, what are we going to be talking about this evening?
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you, and I think that it's a good idea every once in a while to try to plumb the depths of the depravity of the people who presume to govern us. That's something we do pretty much every single week, but we get into the realm that's sometimes called deep politics, and that is the intersection of casual corruption, which is commonplace in all political government, with what has to be considered objective, if not demonic, evil. And there was a lawsuit filed just a couple of days ago on the 59th anniversary of the death of a man by the name of Frank Olson that I think really illuminates, and I use that word advisedly, the true nature of deep politics in our system, indeed in most of the governments that have been inflicted on the peoples of the world. Frank Olson worked at a facility in Maryland called Fort Meade. He was a bioweapons expert. He was employed by the Central Intelligence Agency. And 59 years ago, on the 24th of November to be specific, he tendered his resignation. And this happened just a couple of days after he had attended a party in Maryland. I think it was a place called Deep Creek Lake. I don't know much about that town or that region. At which he was given a libation that had been laced with an experimental hallucinogenic compound now known as LSD. At this time, the CIA was effectively the monopolistic owner of LSD. It wasn't developed by them, but they had essentially created a cartel, and they had pretty much the market cornered on LSD, and they were using it in experiments under the MKUltra program with Dr. Gottlieb and a number of other really colorful characters. And a number of people who were attached to the CIA were used as involuntary test subjects for this for this mind control substance. It was considered, first of all, a potentially useful way of plying people for information, sort of as an enhanced truth serum. And the CIA was interested in examining its properties with respect to post-hypnotic suggestion and the manipulation of the personality at the biochemical level. There were other people who were involved in these experiments. One of them was a fellow by the name of James Bulger, now known as Whitey Bulger, and he went on to become one of the FBI's kept gangsters during the 1960s and 1970s. He's now on trial before a federal court. But the thing is, Frank Olson was somebody who had rebelled against this program after he'd been used as an involuntary test subject, and it probably cost him his life. And this is something, once again, that we're commemorating by way of anniversary, the 59th anniversary of that event. And I think it's timely to talk about that, what that reveals about the true nature of the government that rules us.
In fact, that's covered in a report that we have. We call it the Rockefeller Report. Came out of the VA administration in 1994. We've actually talked to other people. And basically, of course, it's a very serious question. But the CIA, because, of course, Olson was, might very well tell somebody what had happened, they actually threw him out of the window of a building. They simply killed one of their own. William, you go right ahead. In fact, I think that one of the justifications for this lawsuit is that the CIA had actually had Olson killed.
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the contentions of the family now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. His two sons on the 28th of this month, just a couple of days ago, that's the 59th anniversary of Frank Olson's death, his sons Eric and Nils filed a federal wrongful death lawsuit alleging that rather than being a suicide, which was something that had been maintained by the CIA, by the federal government, until 1975, actually, there was no revelation that he had been an involuntary test subject in the MKUltra program. That was something that was pried out of the secretive files of the CIA during, I believe, the Church Committee hearings, or it might have been the Pike Committee. I can't remember. One of the two hearings, one of the two sets of hearings into the abuses of the CIA that took place in the mid-70s. Managed to exhume this fact that Olson had been an involuntary test subject, as had a number of other people in the CIA. But the cover story was that he had gone to New York for psychiatric evaluation, and that in a fit of psychotic despair, he flung himself from the 13th story window of a high-rise hotel in New York. And what the lawsuit claims is that Olson had actually tendered his resignation, first of all, probably out of mortal disgust over the way he'd been used as a test subject and out of disgust over the way that others had been used as guinea pigs, human guinea pigs by the agency, but also because he had learned that some of the bioweapons he'd developed had been used in illegal interrogations held by CIA personnel in Germany and Norway and in Great Britain, and that people who had been used as the test subjects in those interrogations had actually been murdered. And he was going to reveal what had happened with the MKUltra program and the fact that the CIA was killing people who were apparently innocent of any wrongdoing. Of course, the CIA, not being a law enforcement agency without domestic rescript, furthermore, in terms of what they can do according to their own institutional charter, they were doing these things both domestically and abroad with no oversight at all. And Frank Olson was a man who had a functioning conscience that probably led to his murder. And that happened once again, 59 years ago, that he was thrown out the window. And it's almost certain that this was an act of murder rather than an act of suicide. The lawsuit says that there are people whose behavior, whose reaction to what happened, was one of studied indifference or relief when they were informed as to what happened to Frank Olson. They weren't shocked by what had happened. They certainly seemed to have been anticipating that he was going to be defenestrated rather than reacting as one would with the type of dismay and horror.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought there. Well, William is certainly telling the story of Frank Olson, who back in the 1950s, he was a scientist working. He actually worked for the government, but somehow he was assigned to the CIA. And basically, of course, they'd used him for their experiments on LSD. And then, of course, when it became obvious he might talk about this, why, he was simply tossed out of the window of the 13th floor, and he was killed. And now, of course, his sons, all these years later, bring a suit against the CIA for this. But there was a lot of things that went on back in those days. I can remember, certainly as a medical student, hearing about this town over in England, or in France, where a lot of people there had died at this town, and they sent in a medical team to find out what had happened. And, it turned out that they'd gotten contaminated wheat. There was ergot in the wheat, and ergot, of course, is a very toxic substance, and all these people in that town had died of ergot poisoning. Well, only later on did we find out that the CIA, working with French intelligence, and I think it was LSD that they put into the water supply. You correct me if I'm wrong, William, but they did this sort of thing. And ladies and gentlemen, they're still doing it today. We killed 1 million people in Iraq when there were no weapons of mass destruction, the only thing they could say is, "Oh, shucks, we made a mistake. Oh, we gave the Saddam Hussein chemical and biological weapons during the 1980s, and he killed a million Iranians with those chemical weapons produced by America and given to Saddam Hussein. He killed 100,000 Kurds, and, well, we just don't like to talk about that. We didn't really intend for all those people to die." Ladies and gentlemen, these things are going on today. They're not imaginary, and you can check them out. Fortunately, you have the Internet. Up until recently, of course, they had total control over access to information. Thank goodness for the Internet. I know that they take things down. I know that there are a lot of intentional disinformation. The intelligence agencies have their disinformation agents planted, putting things into the Internet. They have them planted in the conservative movement. They have them planted in the patriotic movement. They have them planted in congressmen's offices. I'm firmly convinced they had them planted into Congressman Ron Paul's campaign, which is one reason his political campaign didn't do very well. Most people can find it very difficult to understand that they've infiltrated the ministries of several of my very good friends. And to this very day, many of these people think that their closest friend is really on their side, whereas I'm sure and convinced in my own part that he is a CIA agent, but I can't come forward and tell them. They would be incapable of believing that sort of thing. But go right ahead. Do you remember that story about the French town, William?
Yes, I do. And I think you got the essentials of it right. This was something that was carried out by the CIA with a satellite agency there in France, actually doing most of the grunt work. And that reminds me of the recent disclosures about what had been going on in that town in, I believe, the suburbs of St. Louis. I think it might have been East St. Louis, rather, in Missouri, where the military, for a number of years, was putting a toxic chemical into the environment in order to test the impact on isolated, well, not so much isolated, but rather marginalized, downscale neighborhood, primarily black in terms of its ethnic composition. There's been an anomalous cluster of cancers there related to the release of this toxic chemical that was part of a long-term experiment in biological warfare, and that's something which has recently been exhumed once again and put into a doctoral dissertation. Then it received some coverage in the Army Times and some other publications of that sort, who are offering what we'd have to consider to be testimony against interest here, because there's no reason at all why the Army Times, being an organ of the Pentagon, would be promoting disinformation at the expense of its institutional reputation that way. I mean, it's obvious that this is a legitimate story about how the federal government, the military specifically, was using an element of the U.S. population here in an experiment, as involuntary test subjects in an experiment that ends up killing a number of these people from cancers that were the result of exposure to this toxic chemical.
Well, because, you know, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Dr. Garth Nicholson? I don't know if you
I've
know
I've heard
him.
The name.
But he's certainly a good friend of ours. He actually had was a professor at MB Anderson Clinic, taught there. I talked to a number of his students, and certainly the scientists who worked with him. He had one of the finest reputations of anybody. But at that time, of course, this was probably back in the 1980s, there was a town, a prison town in Texas, where they were actually bringing in mycoplasm infections, genetically altered mycoplasm, and giving it to the prisoners, infecting them. And then, of course, certainly finding out if they could block the spread of this disease with various types of vaccines. Well, the disease got from the, certainly from the inmates into the guards, and then it got into the general community, and you began having epidemics of multiple sclerosis and anterior lateral sclerosis and all sorts of diseases, and large numbers of people died of that in this little community as a result of that. And when some of the pathologists, state pathologists, begin questioning what was happening, because, of course, if a prisoner dies, they're supposed to be turned over to the state pathologist. And incidentally, they had been medical students under Dr. Garth Nicholson. Why, of course, they'd gone on to become pathologists. But when these pathologists began to ask why these bodies were not being sent to the state to be autopsied, but rather sent to an army lab, Of course, then they killed the pathologist. They killed a couple of them, and they were going to kill Dr. Garth Nicholson, which is why he had to leave MD Anderson Clinic in his tenured position and come to California, if you'd like to read the book, where he tells the whole story. It's called, we actually carry it here, and the name escapes me momentarily. It'll come very, very, very shortly, but Operation... Operation Day Lily with one L and Lily. Operation Day Lily. The story, and you'll hear the whole story, of course, the names have been changed, but of course, very important people were involved in this. It's not imaginary. I've talked to other people who were actually in that community. This story has been totally covered up, as have so many of the other stories. Certainly they did spraying here on the west coast of California. They'd actually have the naval vessels going up and down on the west coast of California, spraying the air where the wind was blowing eastward, so it would blow into the towns there. And, of course, they thought they were using a benign bacteria, but, of course, it started killing people. There were six people hospitalized at Stanford. One of them died. And eventually they tried to sue the government over this, and they had all the information. And the judge said, well, of course, this is in the name of national security. In the name of national security, we cannot allow this lawsuit, despite the fact that they killed this man. They didn't deny they killed him, but it was done in the name of national security, and they threw the case out. Go right ahead, William. But these are real cases. That, incidentally, that story I just told is available in something called the Rockefeller Committee Report. It's actually the report of the Veterans Administration in 1994. And, of course, we actually we've reduplicated the report. I got this woman who actually wrote the report for the Veterans Administration on the line, asked her to come on the radio, and she was frankly afraid to. She was afraid in America to come on the radio and tell the story that she had uncovered through a lot of great research. She was afraid for her life in America. Go right ahead, William.
When you refer to the phrase national security, of course, you're invoking a concept that is considered sort of a plenary indulgence for doing anything to anybody for any reason that the supposed guardians of national security can contrive. The logic here is that we exist to protect the government rather than the government existing to protect our rights. And unfortunately, that's a fairly widespread concept and a fairly common assumption, particularly within the political class. I mean, when we're referring to these large-scale amoral, and if immoral, of course, obviously amoral, I think these people consider themselves beyond good and evil. These amoral enterprises in which they're using targeted populations here as unwitting test subjects. Just a few years ago, there was an example of the same kind of a thing that was revealed from Guatemala, where they were using conscripts in the army and prisoners and prostitutes in syphilis experiments, the same thing that happened in Tuskegee. And this was not revealed until, I believe, 2009 or 2010. But the callous indifference, the people who operate those elements of the internal government, the sort of the dark government, the black government you refer to, the shadow government. The callous indifference to the consequences of these actions on the lives of beings they consider lesser than themselves is genuinely sociopathic. On a related but not immediately related note, I think it's interesting that just a couple of days ago, Hillary Clinton, who's almost certainly going to be running for the presidency in the next go-round, she's currently the Secretary of State, was at a meeting sponsored by Foreign Policy magazine, not Foreign Affairs, but the Council on Foreign Relations would be Foreign Affairs. Foreign Policy would be the Carnegie Endowment, which is, of course, not much different. Foreign Policy magazine held a forum in Washington, D.C., and invited representatives of Central American governments, and I believe Mexico, to discuss Latin American affairs. And the ambassador from Costa Rica, whose name escapes me right now, approached Hillary Clinton and said, in light of what's happened in Colorado and Washington, in the light of what's going on now in Latin America because of the war on drugs, which, of course, is an exercise basically in keeping the price of the commodity up, wouldn't it be possible to rethink Washington's strategy with respect to narcotics? And Hillary Clinton decanted this really high-octane brew of sanctimonious nonsense the upshot of which was, no, we're not going to rethink our policy in spite of the fact that you've got tens of thousands of people being killed in various Latin American countries, and in Mexico over the last 6 years, between 60 and 120,000 people have been killed in this so-called war on drugs that is doing nothing to abate the demand for drugs, but is simply making a number of very corrupt people extremely wealthy while killing all the innocent people all around them. It reminded me of Madeleine Albright's comment back in 1995 that it was somehow worth it for 500,000 Iraqi children to die in an embargo that propped up Saddam Hussein.
And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'm totally against the use of narcotic drugs, but would be far better off to legalize them than to do what we're doing, because the largest purveyor of drugs in the world today is the American CIA. Check it out on the internet. You'll find it's true. William, you go right ahead. On one hand, one branch of the CIA is fomenting the drug traffic and is actually working with certain favorable cartels. And on the other hand, of course, our entire legal system is intent upon stopping the use of the drugs that are being manufactured and distributed throughout the world by our own CIA, which is one major reason why we are in Afghanistan today. When the Taliban were in charge there, why, of course, they stopped the drug traffic, because they recognized that the drugs were destroying the lives of people throughout the world. And when America went in to liberate the Afghan people, once again, why, of course, the poppy fields bloomed and American troops were used to guard the poppy crops from the wicked Taliban, under the justification was, well, after all, we can't have the Taliban destroying those crops. I mean, what sort of madness is this? Why can't people see what's going on? It's almost as if there's some sort of a cloud over their eyes so they cannot understand that America, on one hand, is promoting the drug crops, on the other hand, waging a war on drugs. Go ahead.
There's a professor from, I believe it's the University of Wisconsin-Madison, by the name of Alfred McCoy, who's written a number of very penetrating analyses of the narcotics trade and the political control of the narcotics trade. He was the one who documented the ways in which the CIA and elements of various criminal associations in Indochina were smuggling heroin back to the United States out of the Golden Triangle in the cadavers of U.S. servicemen who have been killed over in Vietnam. He got into some of the deep politics involving the CIA and the nexus between the CIA's involvement in promoting drug trafficking and torture. Many of the same private chartered executive jets that were used for rendition flight during the early years of the century, the 2000s, in the Bush administration, have been involved in drug trafficking. There was one that crashed in northern Mexico just a couple of years ago that had been used to conduct rendition flights where people who are terrorist suspects or just innocent people who are rafted off the street by bounty hunters in Pakistan were flown off to various destinations in order to be tortured. Or people like Meyer Erar from Canada, a fellow who was born in Syria, he's a Canadian citizen now of Syrian ancestry. He was taken off his flight at JFK and then stuffed onto a plane and taken back to Syria to be tortured for a year. And it's entirely possible, I'd say it's almost inevitable, that the executive jet that took him over to Syria to be tortured by the agents of the secret police agents of the government that are now tearing that country apart in a war that's being fomented by Washington. I mean, Washington's backing Al-Qaeda against their former stooges there in Syria. But it's entirely possible that the plane that took Maher Erar to Syria had been used to shuttle drugs into the United States. And I think that when we take a look at the dynamics here that Alfred McCoy talks about, where there's a convergence between the underworld, the criminal underworld, the political overworld. This is done in order to create this huge pool of funding that's off the books and completely unaccountable, that's used to foment mischief of the sort that's going on in Syria right now, or the type of thing that's happening in and around the Horn of Africa. And that's one of the reasons why we have this so-called war on drugs. It's a stimulus program for the underworld. It's a type of subsidy for the criminal element that's involved in syndicating under government control and with government permission.
Hold that thought, William. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is William Grigg. He's simply talking about how we have components within our government who are actually fomenting and encouraging the use of drugs throughout the world, working in concert with the drugs, certainly the drug czars and the drug cartels in Mexico and in other countries on one hand, and then we have a Justice Department which is throwing people in prison because they're utilizing drugs. Sometimes even a very, very small amount of drugs can send you to a federal penitentiary for 10 years. And so much of what's going on really doesn't make sense today. The United States has well over 2 million adults in prison today. We have one in every 33 American adults is in prison, probation, or parole. The majority of them are there because of drug or drug-related offenses. We have more people in our prisons than any other prison system in the world, including Communist China, as ruthless as Communist China is. We have more people in our prisons than in all of the Communist gulags in China put together. And why are these things happening? Well, nobody really knows. In fact, it would be very disturbing for the average American to realize that the CIA is the largest purveyor of drugs in the entire world today. Go right ahead, William.
Thing about the so-called war on drugs and the CIA's role in this is that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, this really goes back 6 decades. You have to go back to the 1950s when the CIA was deeply involved, as was the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs in the MKUltra program. The fellow who is the chief administrator, not the head of the BNDD, the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, but the guy who was really the muscle behind it, was a fellow by the name of George White. And he'd been involved in enforcing alcohol prohibition. And he got involved in alcohol prohibition just as it was ending in the early 1930s, and so he migrated from there into the field of narcotics enforcement, and that was the time when the laws imposing severe taxes and regulations on marijuana were put in place to take over seamlessly from the alcohol prohibition push. Now they were going to target marijuana as the next big thing. Well, Mr. White, George White, actually got involved in the MKUltra program in the early 1950s, and his specialty was testing concentrated reductions of marijuana, the THC in marijuana, under the aegis of the CIA. And one of the things that he did was he developed these social engagements, these social settings, where people would be invited to dinner parties and other functions, and White and the other elements of the MKUltra program would secretly inflict various narcotics on them. The MKUltra program, for instance, used an aerosol dispenser that would subject an unwitting guest to a potent dose of LSD, and then White and some of the others in the program did similar experiments involving concentrated marijuana. This, for instance, was inflicted on several people who were involved in the Manhattan Project, and some people who were in the underworld. I mentioned earlier the role played by James Bulger, Whitey Bulger, in prison as a voluntary test subject for LSD. He was told that LSD was being tested as a potential treatment for schizophrenia, but of course this wasn't what was actually happening. The LSD was being tested as a mind control drug. I believe that some of the people who were close to Lucky Luciano, who was a mobster who had no small role in the CIA's activities in Cuba and in Chicago, some of his henchmen and subalterns and lieutenants were used as test subjects in MKUltra.
Well, of course, you know that basically Whitey Bulger, when he got out of prison, became a mob leader, and certainly, but he was also working with the FBI. But basically, he ordered the murder of about 20 people. Many of them were tortured to death while he was working for the CIA. And here's a man, of course, who was obviously treated with some drugs by our government. We wonder what impact that had on his mind. Of course, he actually, he was indicted by the federal government and escaped, and he actually hid out for 20, 25 years. Whitey Bulger ordered the murder of approximately 20 people. Some of them were actually tortured to death. While he was working actively for our government and being protected by the government. Go right ahead.
That's exactly what happened. He was actually working for the FBI at that time, but he started out as a CIA asset when he was in prison. So he worked for both of the three-letter secret police agencies, and in that capacity he was given carte blanche to murder whom he chose to.
And because they never talk about this, they talk about Whitey Bulger today, but they never tell you about the background of this most wicked, wicked man, working both for the CIA and the FBI and killing people.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
Go right ahead, William.
One thing I want to mention here before we leave the subject of prohibition, which is sort of the taproot of this evil thing that is drug prohibition, there's an infuriating story that was published in Slate, the online magazine, back on February 19th of 2010, entitled The Chemist's War. And it was written by Deborah Blum, who had written a book on the nightlife New York City during the Prohibition era. She describes how the U.S. government, by way of a calculating policy, injected tainted alcohol into those industrial pools that were being used by bootleggers to create illicit libations, potent drinks, adult beverages, alcoholic beverages during the era of Prohibition. And this resulted in one epidemic of blindness, insanity, and death in one specific region of New York City where this was being done. And many of the people in local law enforcement in New York were mortified by this. The people in, of course, the healthcare field were mortified by it. But there are people in the media who are on the payroll of the foundations and the government who said that this is a perfectly acceptable thing to do because these people were engaging in socially improper behavior. It had been decided as a matter of national consensus that prohibition was now the law of the land, that consumption of alcohol was no longer permissible, and so the government simply had the right summarily to poison these people for doing something that, while unwise, shouldn't be considered a crime. But that is a theme that we see popping up time and time again here, is the idea that for our own purported good, the government can make whatever use of us it seems to them fit and suitable. Up to and including mass poisoning of people in indiscriminate ways. So this is something that I always think of when we have debates, interestingly enough, over fluoridation of the drinking water. The people who are doing this are part of a social cohort, part of a social caste, that is descended from people who saw nothing at all wrong with injecting poison into a consumable stream that they knew would end up being consumed by people and lead to premature death or permanent injury or insanity. We simply cannot assume that people who are going to engage in mass medication, involuntary medication of people, supposedly for our own good, are actually going to do things that will conduce to our good health. And after all, if these things are healthy, if these things are beneficial, then make the case that we should do this voluntarily rather than treating us as livestock to be disposed of as they see fit.
Hold that thought, William. We'll be back here in just a moment at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is William Grigg this evening. And, of course, William certainly actually writes blogs all the time. You can read him frequently at Lou Rockwell. You can read his blog at his website, but I'm going to let him tell you how you can get to his website, how you can get to his material, and of course I've mentioned that there is at the bottom of every page a PayPal button, which I had to twist William's arm to get him to put it there, but because they want him to be able to have at least some form of a compensation to help maintain his family and his six children. William, how can people get your articles, other than, of course, they can read the Radio Liberty newsletter, which you were kind enough to write, but how can people certainly get to your newsletter and get your articles on Lou Rockwell?
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that, and I'm grateful for everything that you have done and that your listeners have done for me and for my family. It's a real blessing to us. My blog is called Pro Libertate, and that's spelled ProLibertate. And the easiest way to find it is to go to a search engine such as Google and type in my name, William Grigg. Chances are the very first return you'll get will be the Pro Libertate blog. If you type in Grigg and Pro Libertate, then it's certainty that the first return will be the Pro Libertate blog. The direct URL or web address is freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time is one word. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, at the bottom of every essay, there is a PayPal button that people can use if they have the means and interest in helping to support me and what I do and keep my one-man publishing endeavor a going and viable concern. I really do appreciate the help that we've received and continue to receive. You mentioned as well, Dr. Stan, that a lot of what I write is republished at the LewRockwell.com page. That's L-E-W Rockwell, and Rockwell is spelled like Norman Rockwell. lewrockwell.com, and he'll republish practically everything that I write at Pro Libertate with links back to my blog, so if you want to backtrack the essay to my blog to find the PayPal button, for those who are interested in making a donation, that's one very easy way to do it. I also frequently write items that are posted on the blog at lewrockwell.com, and that is found at the right-hand margin of the screen. Once you go to that webpage, the right-hand margin of the screen, you'll find the blog. That's updated irregularly. I should also point out that I'm on Facebook. I'm easy enough to find on Facebook. And just within the last week or so, I started a group, a discussion group, which is one of the real advantages of social media, is that you can start your own equivalent of a bulletin board. And the discussion group is called Restore the Right to Resist Unlawful Arrest. Now, this is a pet project of mine, and it has been for quite a while. And I want briefly to explain why this is so. Here in the state of Idaho, 4 years ago, there was a perfectly abhorrent Supreme Court decision handed down by the state Supreme Court called Lusby versus Idaho. And it involved a woman in, if memory serves, Pocatello or Twin Falls, somewhere in the southeastern quadrant of the state, who was on her front porch of an evening, and a police officer was in the neighborhood and decided for some reason that he wanted to make an issue out of whatever she was doing or find some reason to make her life miserable. I don't know why he singled her out, but for some reason she came to his attention. She decided that she didn't want to talk to the police officer. He had no probable cause. There was no warrant out for her arrest. But she went into her home, and he followed her into her home, uninvited, without a warrant, without probable cause. He just simply invited her into her home, invited himself into her home. Now, she took offense to this and tried to get him to leave, and that meant at one point, when he was insistent on going into her house, she decided physically to try to throw him out. At that point, he said, you're under arrest for resisting arrest, and he began to search her home, and he found a trivial amount of marijuana, I think a seed or a stem or something of that sort, and he arrested her on narcotics possession and paraphernalia possession charges and took her to jail. She was eventually convicted, I believe, not only of paraphernalia possession but of resisting arrest. This went all the way to the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court here in Idaho ruled that irrespective of the legality of a search or the legality of an arrest, if a citizen resists a police officer, that's the predicate offense that justifies whatever follows. So, by provoking this conflict with this woman, by illegally invading her home, and by physically assaulting her, the police officer created a situation where, by virtue of her resistance to his unlawful actions, he was able to start the clock anew and create a pretext for a search that resulted in her incarceration. So the instructions that are given to a jury here in the state of Idaho, which are dictated by, I believe, a committee in the state legislature, the judicial instructions that are given to a jury, dictate that it doesn't matter whether a police officer is acting legally or illegally. When a citizen resists a police officer, the offense has been committed. So this essentially enables a police officer in the state of Idaho to pick a fight or to commit a crime, and then when the citizen resists the criminal actions of the police officer, anything the police officer does after that point is considered legal. Well, that's completely unacceptable. It's unconstitutional, both from the perspective of the U.S. Constitution and the Idaho State Constitution, and also under the statutes of the state of Idaho, it's made pretty clear that somebody who commits the crime of false arrest is committing a felony. But this is a situation where, because of the Supreme Court precedent, the police officer is given permission to commit a felony. And if you try to defend yourself against a felon in uniform, then you are the criminal and you're going to go to prison. And the criminal is probably going to get promoted. So what I want to do here in the state of Idaho, and I've talked to a couple of state legislators about this, is enter a bill before the legislature. I've written model legislation. It's available on my Facebook page. I've written model legislation, which is adaptable, I think, to just about any state in the union, recognizing that if you are an actual criminal offender and you resist arrest while the police are trying to apprehend you for committing an actual crime against a person or property, then they have to prove the predicate offense. And having done that, if they can prove that you've resisted arrest by police trying to apprehend you for prosecution for an actual crime, then your sentence will be enhanced by, I believe, if I remember correctly, a year in prison and a substantial fine. If, on the other hand, no predicate offense can be proven, or the police, in the course of arresting you, are simply trying to enforce something that amounts to a law against the malum prohibitum, it's not something that's a crime against personal property, then the police officer, if there's no underlying predicate offense, is committing the crime of false arrest, which is a crime listed in the statute books in the state of Idaho, and the police officer is liable to prosecution. And it also recognizes, as the state and also federal Supreme Court have recognized in precedents going back more than a century, that there is an Anglo-Saxon common law right to resist unlawful arrest. In the state of Indiana, just a few months ago, Governor Mitch Daniels enacted a law, or signed into law, a bill that recognizes that the Castle Doctrine, which is to say the doctrine that you don't have a duty to retreat when you're confronting an invader on your property, it's also known as the stand your ground principle in some states, that the Castle Doctrine applies to the behavior of police officers who are conducting warrantless searches or otherwise acting without legal justification. No exigent circumstances, no warrant, no probable cause. If a police officer invades your home, he's just another intruder to be dealt with as such in the state of Indiana. I wish Idaho had a statute of that sort, and I'm talking to some people about that. Michigan, just, I believe, in March of this year or April of this year, the state Supreme Court handed down a ruling recognizing that there is a common law right to resist an unlawful search in your premises by a police officer, and that would include the right to resist unlawful arrest. This is something that was actually recognized and codified in law as recently as 1999, and the state Supreme Court in Michigan had ruled on that question, I believe, in 2000 or 2001, and then asked the legislature to change the law, and they changed the law without explicitly repudiating the common law right. And so when this came before the state Supreme Court in Michigan a couple of years ago, actually I believe it was about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, they had oral arguments on this subject. The prosecutors representing the state was put into a really interesting position by a question asked by an associate judge, I believe his name was Kavanaugh. He was asked if a police officer or a prison guard began to commit the act of sexual assault of a female detainee under the pretext of a body search, and the detainee resists the sexual assault, could the detainee be prosecuted for resisting and obstructing a law enforcement officer under the state statute as the prosecutor stood it? And the prosecutor said, yes, that is something that could happen under our construction of the law in the state of Michigan. If you're a female who's on an isolated road, you're pulled over by a police officer who insists on searching you, and under the pretext of searching you, he's sexually assaulting you, and you resist the police officer, then you can be prosecuted for resisting and obstructing. And what Kavanaugh said by way of reply was, could you explain to me what's left of the Fourth Amendment if a police officer has the right and the authority to prosecute somebody who resists a sexual assault by that police officer? And what the prosecutor, his name was Babbitt, interestingly enough, said was, well, I would hope that what would happen is that she would file a lawsuit after the fact. So she'd just have to endure the sexual assault and experience trauma that no human being should undergo, and then file a lawsuit that will probably be settled out of court and paid for by taxpayers who got party to the crime. Now, this is relevant, Dr. Stan, because just within the last couple of weeks, a lawsuit was filed in Illinois involving a young woman. I think she's 26. She's a wife and a mother. About 6 months ago, it was July, actually, she was coming home from a friend's home in this little village called Justice, Illinois, a town of about 12,000 people. The median income is about $50,000, sort of a retirement enclave. It's a suburb in Cook County, a suburb of Chicago. This young woman was going home from visiting a friend. Her name was Magdalena Mall. She was outside the apartment complex after midnight waiting for a taxi, and a police officer drove by and saw her and ordered her to get into his car. And then when the taxi driver arrived, he ordered the taxi driver away. He didn't explain what Magdalena Mole had done to attract his attention, but he ordered her to provide ID and then ran her name through the dispatch and then drove her off to an isolated area and sexually assaulted her and then released her. She was able to catch a ride home. The next day, she filed a complaint with the police department there in the Village of Justice. And when the complaint was heard by the Internal Affairs Department, they upheld the complaint. In other words, the facts of this issue are not in dispute. They're admitting that her story was factually supportable, that this police officer arrested her, that is to say, detained her without due cause, and that he had committed this act upon her person. But he wasn't prosecuted for this action. I called the Justice Police Department the day before Thanksgiving and asked if he was still on the force. His name is Carmen Scardine, for those who want to look this story up. They said that he's still on the force as of November 21st. As a matter of fact, he'd been recognized after this assault. He was recognized by the governor of Illinois as part of the ceremony for outstanding police officers. And so he's still on the force, and he's not been prosecuted or sanctioned in any way, and I suspect it's because the victim didn't resist. Because the victim, had she resisted, would most certainly have been arrested for resisting and obstructing a police officer. There was a case like that in Pittsburgh a few years ago, where a woman who was involved in the fender bender was actually told by the police officer, his name was Adam Squares, that he'd be willing to forego writing a citation for the moving violation and for not having insurance or having an expired driver's license. He'd be willing to put all that aside if she would perform sexual favors for him, and that if she resisted, then she would be handcuffed and then raped in the back seat of his police car. And he promised her that what he planned to do to her was probably not as bad as what would happen to her if she actually went to jail after being arrested for resisting arrest. These are the sorts of things that illustrate just how far gone we are in terms of the Fourth Amendment protections of persons and property. And this is a rather lengthy digression. I hadn't planned on talking about this at length, but on my Facebook page, and if you go to Facebook and look up William Norman Grigg, and if you look up the group Restore the Right to Resist Unlawful Arrest, you'll see once again my model legislation, and you get an update here of stories of this kind that illustrate what I consider to be really the imperative necessity of restoring the protection for this common law right. Not because we want to make it easier for criminals to get away. Nobody wants somebody who actually commits a crime against person and property to go free and menace the rights of other innocent people. If you're an offender of that kind and you're simply trying to escape, and of course it's a predictable thing that you want to escape, if you're caught and prosecuted and the crime against you is upheld, it's proven that you committed the act, then your act of resisting or eluding police will be taken into account in the sentencing phase. But it shouldn't be the case that people simply have to submit to whatever violent, aggressive act government functionaries see fit to inflict upon them simply by virtue of the fact that he's a government functionary. And if nothing else, I want to start a debate, and I want to start a fight with people who have the opposite perspective on this issue. I want people who represent police unions, for instance, to explain to us why it should be the case that in the state of Idaho, the prevailing legal doctrine holds that a police officer can violate the law and inflict injury upon the person of an innocent person, of an innocent citizen, and that if the innocent citizen in question simply tries to protect himself, that act is criminal, but the actions of the police officer are supposedly a matter of policy. So that's the sort of thing I'm involved in that forum, and it's growing. It's growing quite a bit. just in the last week or so, and I'd like once again to propagate this message for no other reason, just to try to instill a healthy sense of resistance in people. I should point out that one story I'm about to do over the next couple of days is about a good police officer from Philadelphia by the name of John McLaughlin, who actually, along with some of his colleagues, was threatened with imprisonment himself because he had busted the CIA-protected drug smuggling operation that was helping to prop up a Marxist political agitator in the Dominican Republic. And that's an important part of the story as well. That illustrates something really insidious about the war on drugs is the way that it corrupts law enforcement, and it takes law enforcement officers who are conscientious and trying to do what they understand to be their duty and puts them in danger of not merely damage to their careers, but in some cases they're threatened with the spurious civil rights charges and imprisonment because they've happened to run into some of these people. They're plentiful, who are part of the CIA's drug smuggling operation here in the United States. So look at, be looking at Pro Libertate. Watch that space for the next couple of days, and I'm going to be posting this story. He just recently published his memoirs, which I think are something everybody should read in terms of illustrating just how deep the depravity runs on the part of the CIA and its operatives here in this country.
And ladies and gentlemen, there are many books out there about the CIA and drugs. Certainly, you can find all sorts of references on the Internet. Ladies and gentlemen, if the CIA is involved in drugs, it means that the entire structure of our intelligence agencies is corrupt. There may be good people working there, but they're not taking a stand against this corruption because, of course, we have certainly separations of sections of government action. Well, William, you've got 3 minutes to finish up the program.
Dr. Stan, once again, it's always a pleasure and a blessing to be with you, and I appreciate everything that you've been doing and that your listeners have been doing to try to vindicate the truth and help people who have been distracted or perhaps intimidated into silence to understand that it is possible to resist what's happening, and the most effective means of resistance is to reclaim sovereignty over your conscience, to reclaim the jurisdiction of your mind, to recognize the truth and to speak it fearlessly as you've been given wisdom to understand it and opportunity to express it. In speaking the truth in times of ubiquitous falsehood is a revolutionary act, and it does require, I think, a certain amount of boldness for many people, and it requires a certain amount of courage. I want to refer once again to the case of this former narcotics agent in Pennsylvania by the name of John McLaughlin. Here's a guy who was raised in a blue-collar family from a multi-generational law enforcement family, police officer. He's somebody who had been educated in Catholic schools and is deeply patriotic. He'd been told that it was his job to go out into the mean streets of Philadelphia and to try to round up people who were smuggling drugs. It seemed horrible things that happened because of addiction. Conversing with him this past week, he impressed upon my mind the fact that there are really horrible things, obviously, that happen to drug addiction. It isn't evil. It's not an evil over which the government has jurisdiction unless it involves aggressive force, of course. But he didn't understand that principle. But he was just dumbfounded to find out in 1995 that he could find himself being treated as something akin to a terrorist, with the FBI running sting operations against him and people in the prosecutor's office trying to throw him in prison because he'd happened to identify and target somebody who was one of the biggest drug smugglers in the Eastern Seaboard who was operating under the CIA's protection. He and his associates fortunately were able to expose the truth and they were able to prevail in court. That doesn't happen all the time. But once again, we're not called upon necessarily to be victorious. We're called upon to tell the truth without fear or favor, to do the right thing because it is the right thing. And there will be costs to be paid occasionally, but it is worth it to do that which is right and just and true.
Well, we can't help but wonder how many innocent police officers are maybe in prison across America today because they tried to do what was right. And ladies and gentlemen, when we have more people in prison in America than they have in communist China, something's wrong with the system. When one out of every three American adults is in prison, probation or parole, we got a real problem. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have to focus on, is the fact that we do not have justice enthroned in our system right now. Power has been enthroned to the
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, William Craig. William, thank you so very much. We'll really look forward to talking to you real soon, and thank you so very much.
Thank you. God bless, Doctor.
And you too. Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the end of the week, and this is the time when I need certainly to remind all of our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Certainly, you can donate to what we do. You can certainly get the books and four CD sets and DVDs we've created. We have all sorts of things there. But certainly you could advertise with us. Anything you'd like to do that we'd appreciate. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, and I know many people are not, we simply ask that you pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, that you tell others about our program and encourage them to listen. And certainly you have my permission to copy any of the DVDs or 4-tape or 4-CD or sets or videos we produced. Get them out across America. As long as you're not doing it for profit, we want to get the information out. If you'd like a catalog, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to this whole concept of the fact that there really is a conspiracy out there. We're carrying used copies of Barry Goldwater's wonderful book written in 1979. It's called With No Apologies. Where on page 280, Barry Goldwater tells you that there is this little group, it's called the Council on Foreign Relations, and they largely control our government. But the most important group is the Trilateral Commission, because they are international. And their goal is to control all of the governments of the world by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. Those are his words, by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. That was 1979. They do control the government of the United States. Between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States came from the 80-some members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. 6 of the 8 presidents of the World Bank, 8 of the 10 U.S. trade representatives, 7 of the 12 secretaries of state, 9 of the 12 secretaries of state between 77 and 2008 came from the membership roles of this organization. It is a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Now they're talking about the new Secretary of State, and who will it be? Well, perhaps it'll be Susan Rice. And there's all sorts of debates as to whether she's qualified. Have you noticed that nobody's ever mentioned that she came from the ranks of the Trilateral Commission before she became the American ambassador to the United Nations? Why doesn't anybody tell you that? Why, because, of course, the conservative movement is well infiltrated by people on the other side, and their job is to talk about all sorts of other things, but never about the conspiracy that controls our government. You can certainly get the book With No Apologies, your used copies, admittedly. You can get them from Radio Liberty. You can get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get David Rockefeller's memoirs, where he talks about the secret cabal that he's part of. On page 405 of his memoirs, they're available, With No Apologies by Barry Goldwater, memoirs by David Rockefeller, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Certainly, going into the background of Dr. Richard Day, former medical director of Planned Parenthood, who actually gave a talk in 1969 where he explained everything that was going to happen. We have a 4-tape set. It's called The New Order of the Barbarians. The New Order of the Barbarians. We have a transcript of much of what was said, and where he talked about in 1969 how we were going to transfer our automotive production overseas, how we were going to, of course, do a push for abortion, how we were going to encourage euthanasia, how we were going to create new and terrible diseases, how we were going to suppress the treatments for cancer, and on, how they're going to control education, and how they're going to destroy the moral fabric of our society. That's the New Order of the Barbarians. I certainly go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you. It's all about the truth. Yeah, it is. All about the truth. That is, if you can find it. Well, if you have been watching the news, I know the biggest story out there is, for all of you, Lindsay Lohan was arrested yesterday.
Who's that?
I don't know, some lady that keeps getting arrested all the time and then doing drugs, and then she gets, like, rewarded and made Citizen of the Year and everything for that. So anyway, Lindsay Lohan got arrested. No, I'm just kidding. I know that's not your interest. I know that our people don't care about that, but they do care about the fact that there was a UN vote yesterday on the Palestinian issue. And guess what? Shock of all shocks. It passed. Huge, major event. It's like the biggest event